to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how to structure a dressage training plan for your horse. So this podcast episode is part of a three-part series. Now in part one, we're going to be looking at your schooling routine structure and we're going to start looking at the warm-up phase. And then in part two, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the training phase. And then lastly, in part three, we're going to look at the cool-down phase as well as how to keep and maintain fitness in your dressage horse. So if you've joined me on this podcast episode, we're starting in part two, which is the training phase. Now once your horse is warm and mentally focused on the aids, you can then begin the training phase of your schooling session. Now ideally, your horse should be working from behind, through his back and into an elastic contact. However, in practice and depending on the level at which your horse is working, you may need to begin the training phase of your schooling session when you get an acceptable reaction to your basic aids. Now the training phase of every schooling session should be based around how the horse does things and not on what he can do. In other words, you must work to ensure that the basics are in place before moving on to teaching the horse tricks such as half pass, flying changes, etc. So the training phase must always be based around the scales of training. So that's rhythm, suppleness through the back, contact, impulsion, straightness, collection and balance in novice horses. Now the training scales tell you how to challenge your horse and it also reminds you when you've pushed him too far. So when you're riding on your own, the training scales help to identify the prerequisites to working up through the levels, which in turn teaches you to listen to your horse. For example, if the rhythm starts to suffer or if there's resistance to the contact, you know that you're asking for too much from the horse and you should take a step back. And then you can find out what's caused the problem. You can perhaps take a walk break, lighten your hand or seat, or try giving your horse a sympathetic pat and then begin the work again. And then when you move into the training phase of your schooling session, concentrate on developing more impulsion, which is crucial for the preliminary or first level horses. Now, riding transitions within the paces help to engage the horse's joints and release energy that you need for true impulsion. A novice level test will ask you to show a few steps of medium trot, which is a good indicator of whether the horse is working forward with impulsion or not. Now, in elementary or second level work, straightness is crucial and that enables collection. Now the lateral exercises that you ride at this level provide you with the tools that you need to build the horse's strength, symmetry and straightness. So when you move on to work on the next level of your horse's training, you will be able to ride him in collection for brief periods. Now technically the foundation of your work is complete. However, your training from right now through to Grand Prix will focus on improving each element of the training scales, the rhythm, throughness, contact, impulsion and collection, as well as developing self-carriage and relaxation. So here are some tips for your training phase. So tip number one, add a little bit of stress to promote growth. Now by continually challenging the status quo, you can make a small amount of progress each day. Now when schooling your horse, challenge him with work that stresses him just a little, because horses learn best when challenged with new work, so essentially no stress means no improvement or progress. Now you must assess what level, type and duration of stress works for your horse. Now horses that get tense and stressy do best with a routine in their schooling program, and when presented with a new challenge, these horses respond by getting upset. Now then it's up to you to reassure the horse and return to their familiar, comfortable routine. Now if you introduce stress in very small increments, your horse will happily learn to accept that because he learns that each of those small doses of stress become part of his routine and they are always followed by resolution and relief. Now at the opposite end of the scale, our horses are easily bored and actually thrive when presented with a new challenge. And these horses relish a change in routine that prevents them from becoming stale. Now, although the scales of training shows you how to challenge your horse, it also serves as a reminder of when you've pushed too far. Now, if the base of the training pyramid starts to crumble, you know that the stress levels that you've placed on your horse are a step too far, and then you need to take a step back into the horse's comfort zone. For example, if the horse starts to lose rhythm because you pushed him too much in an attempt to build impulsion, that should warn you to adopt a less aggressive approach in your training. So, before presenting your horse with a new challenge, make sure that the basic foundations are in place. Now, if your horse becomes upset or unsettled when presented with a new challenge, you'll need to work out how to recover the lost quality. Now, a gentle pat, a few kind words, lightening your aids, a walk break, or maybe even a short gallop to release pent-up energy and frustration, all of these tactics can be effective, but once again, it's really a matter of horses for courses, because what works for one horse may not work for another. Now, when it comes to deciding how long to labour on a particular point, the best tactic is to train for long enough that the horse recognises and partially meets a new challenge. However, don't keep pushing on so that the horse can't recover his happy, uncomfortable state quickly. Now, provided that the horse learns that he can attempt to meet a challenge with which he is presented, and he will quickly be rewarded for his efforts and should proceed positively, then the horse won't fear the stress. Now, when you're training a brand new concept and it's still unclear to the horse, then repetition can help to train a certain degree of anticipation, which can work in your favour. Now, you must be careful not to punish the horse for anticipating your instructions, although he must learn to wait for you and not execute the movement before you ask him to. For example, if you're working on simple changes, don't reprimand the horse for anticipating the downward transition if that means that he begins to sit and bring his hocks underneath his body, because that's a good thing, as it means the downward transition will be nicely balanced and the upward transition will be fluent and uphill. So moving on to tip number 2, which is training the walk. Now, the inclusion of frequent walk breaks in the training phase is a beneficial tactic. Now, firstly, the horse learns that walking doesn't mean that work is over for the day. And that's important when it comes to riding a dressage test. You don't want your horse to think he's finished as soon as you get to the walk exercises. Now, walking also allows the horse to get his breath back between bouts of more strenuous work. And gradually, this increases his stamina and strength and allows tired muscles and joints to recover. Now, working your horse in the walk whilst keeping him on the aids is a skill in itself. Now, walk breaks on a long or loose rein present you with an opportunity to evaluate what you've achieved to date and to plan the next phase of training and to rest the horse's body between efforts. However, by keeping your horse on the aids during the walk breaks, you're ensuring that he is physically and mentally prepared to continue with good quality work when you ask him to. Now, if that habit is not well established, then you'll find that the horse goes off the boil during the walk from the working in arena to the competition arena. However, if you get into the habit of restarting several times during each training session, then the horse will happily return to work mode both in the schooling and the competition arena. So moving on to tip number 3, which is using the dressage tests in your training plan. Now, the British dressage tests are all numbered sequentially, beginning with the simplest. So in theory, the higher the number, the more challenging the work contained in the test will be. Now, a useful exercise that you can do from your armchair on a cold and wet day is to spend time looking through each test and making a note of the different movements which it contains. Now, you can then use your list as a basis for your training plan. So once your horse can perform everything at prelim and novice level to a good standard, you then know he's ready to move on to elementary, etc. Now, using your dressage test as a basis for your training plan also allows you to vary the exercise you use during the training phase so that work doesn't become repetitive and boring for your horse. So moving on to tip number 4, which is blending exercises. Now, using random exercises can be beneficial to your horse's training, but you will often achieve better results if you blend different exercises into short routines as part of your daily training. For example, Riding shoulder in around a circle helps to bring the horse's hind legs closer together, which in turn makes it easier to collect, straighten and balance the horse on a straight line. So by blending a mixture of bent and straight lines in shoulder in, you will improve the horse's balance, suppleness and engagement. And ultimately, the horse will perform the shoulder in on a straight line just as easy as he does on a circle, and his overall way of going will also improve as a result. So now let's talk about how you go about deciding what exercises to blend. Now, for the blending principle to work well, you need to know which exercises to blend. And to do that, follow the following steps. So step number one, start by working through your horse's repertoire to identify his strengths and weaknesses. Step number two, think about the areas in your horse's basic way of going that need improvement or are now ready for further development and what qualities are lacking. And then finally, step number three, you now need to decide what qualities are missing in particular movements and blend that movement with one that will improve the movement that lacks those qualities. So let's take the half pass as an example. So if your horse struggles to maintain the bend and position in the half pass, then try interspersing the movement with 10 meter circles to correct the bend and bring the horse's inside hind leg more underneath him to help increase the fluency and the crossing. Now, if the quality of the half pass deteriorates again, then you can try changing the bend and riding a 10 meter circle with counterflexion, and that will help to re-engage the horse's outside hind leg and rebalance him. Then, for example, let's suppose that the horse is falling onto his inside shoulder during the half pass. You could try blending the half pass with shoulder in to rebalance the horse and to lift the inside shoulder, and then ride a few steps of shoulder in and then go back into half pass. And the blending of these two exercises helps to reinforce the bend, encourages the horse to listen to your inside leg, and helps to keep the connection through the horse's back into your outside rein. Also, that technique encourages the horse that comes wide behind to step more underneath his body, making it easier for you to develop more impulsion and crossing during the half pass. Another example is if the horse loses lateral balance and begins to straighten his body with just a kink in his neck rather than a proper bend around your inside leg, then the half pass will turn into a leg yield. So you can start by riding a half pass and then deliberately put the horse into leg yield to encourage him to take longer and more sweeping strides. And to prevent the horse from becoming stuck in a crab-like movement that lacks fluency and freedom, you can intersperse the half pass with some medium trot. So make the horse straight, ride him in medium trot for a few strides, and then put him back into the half pass. So you get the idea. You can use multiple exercises and blend them together to improve and develop a movement, rather than merely repeating an exercise over and over and over again without making progress. But do remember to include simple exercises that take the pressure off the horse, as well as riding more complex sequences of movements that he finds more challenging. So moving on to tip number five, which is learning should be fun. Now, too much repetition can be tedious for both the horse and the rider, so change things around and think outside the box. Now, learning can and should be fun, so adopt a more playful attitude with your work. So why not leg yield from one side to the other side of the trail whilst you're out hacking? Or perhaps ride traverse between two poles on the ground and then gallop to the end of the arena. When you ride with a playful attitude, there are no rules, so have fun and you'll be amazed at what you can achieve. Also, playing with your horse helps to strengthen him physically. It teaches him new skills and helps to keep him fresh. And you may even find that the standard exercises in dressage tests seem simple in comparison to what you have achieved when the two of you are just playing. Now, here's an example of how you can use playing to train a novice horse to easily accomplish an elementary level exercise, as well as introducing him to more advanced skills. So this is going to include the simple change, tempis and canter pirouettes. So start by thinking of the simple change as an auditory rhythm exercise. So listen to the sound of the canter, walk, canter. Da-dum, 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 da-bum, bum, bum, da-dum, 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 bum, bum, bum. Now the bum, bum, bum are your walk steps and the da-dum, da-dum, da-dum are your canter steps. So let me repeat that for you. Da-dum, 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 da-bum, bum, bum, da-dum, 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 da-bum, bum, bum. Now, with that expertly narrated rhythm in your mind, you can ride simple changes as if they were tempi changes across the diagonal. So you can canter for 4 strides, walk for 3 strides, canter for 4 strides on the opposite leg, and so forth. And then you can make the exercise more challenging by riding simple changes down the centre line every 4 strides. And then you can try the same exercise, making a simple change every 3 strides. And that's a fabulous exercise to engage, straighten, and sensitise a horse whilst also confirming the simple changes. Now you can keep playing with this routine until the elementary level exercise of one simple change over X seems ridiculously easy in comparison. And then, when you train simple changes this well, you are also laying the groundwork for canter pirouettes. Now, a perfect simple change requires the horse to load his inside hind leg as he would do during a canter pirouette, so then turning the pirouette is relatively easy. So when the simple change feels easy, introduce a quarter canter pirouette instead of the walk transition element of the change. And this allows you to play with pirouettes long before you need to ride them for real. And then the horse will understand that pirouettes are simply an extension of what he can already do well. So now let's move on to tip number 6, which is gifts from your horse. Now in dressage training, one thing very often follows another as you move along the training scale. However, your horse will give you unexpected gifts from time to time that you must recognise and use to your advantage. For example, your horse might make a flying change whilst you're riding in counter canter. Now, rather than regarding such events as evasions and reprimanding your horse, you should appreciate the unexpected gift, and you can then sort out the misunderstanding. But the important thing is to recognise the horse for the effort that he's made. And lastly, tip number 6, which is learning to listen. So try to listen for the feel of the advanced horse within your inexperienced novice or elementary level horse. Because the only way that your horse will know that he's doing the right thing is if you let him know. Now, just as learning to work along the scales of training is a skill that your horse must learn, listening to your horse is a skill that you need to learn. So here are some tips that will help you learn to listen to your horse so that you can ultimately work together in perfect harmony. So number 1 is to develop the ability to follow the horse's movement underneath you. Now the best way to do that is to have some lunge lessons. And then number 2 is to develop a balanced and independent seat that enables you to hold your position regardless of what your horse is doing underneath you. And again, the best way to achieve this is on the lunge. And number 3 is to develop influence so that you can be proactive and stabilize your position simultaneously. And number 4 is to learn to listen to your horse underneath you so that you can hear when your horse is losing balance or is drifting away from you. And then number 5 is to deliberately ride out of harmony with your horse and ask him to come to you. And lastly, number 6, when the horse joins you, you will achieve the ultimate elusive harmony that makes the difference between a good dressage test and an exceptional one. Now, the point of this exercise is that your horse enjoys the feeling of being in perfect harmony with you as much as you do. So when the feeling isn't harmonious, the horse will try to find the feeling. And then riders who ride their horses in this way can achieve something special without having to continually tell the horses, because the horse will come to them. So to wrap this episode up, the training phase of your program is where new exercises are introduced or new work is consolidated. Now, in the next part of this podcast series, we're going to look at the cool down phase, how to prevent injury, and how to keep your horse fit. But if you have any other questions on this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other books, training diaries, free stuff and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you've got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website howtodressage.com and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.